This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Bob Garfield is out this week, a week that we are devoting to the business, the future, the very definition of books. 2 years ago, we did the same thing, and the business landscape has changed. But one thing that hasn't is fear and loathing. Then, as now, the most common complaint is that there are too many books.
We have reason to fear that the multitude of books, which grows every day in a prodigious fashion, will make the following centuries fall into a state as barbarous as that of the centuries that followed the fall of the Roman Empire.
Too many books is one old complaint. Historian Adrian Ballet wrote that in 1685. Plummeting book prices is another. Next week, we'll see the first anniversary of what the publishing world calls Black Wednesday. On that day, Colin Robinson was a relatively recently hired senior editor at Scribner.
That morning, I was called into my boss's office, the corner office, and the two of them were in there, and they said, "Would I close the door?" That's always a bad sign. And they offered me the comfortable chair. And at that point, I thought, oh, this is it.
And similar bloodbaths were occurring at Random House, Houghton Mifflin, HarperCollins.
There were a lot of layoffs that day. Why they all decided to do it on one day, I don't know.
Colin Robinson has recently started a publishing venture with a friend, John Oakes, called Or Books, named for their initials, and to suggest an alternative way of doing business, because they say people still love books, but in our excruciatingly cluttered media environment, people and books have a much harder time finding each other.
First of all, there is a huge overproduction of titles. Writing books is incredibly easy, much, much easier than it used to be. You can get it edited electronically, you can typeset it yourself, you can easily get short-run printers to distribute it, or you can distribute it electronically. And so I think it's a really great time for writers and not such a good time for readers.
Is it because the tastemakers, the gatekeepers, have been swept away in the electronic tide? There are no more, or very few, freestanding book reviews anymore. Amazon and reader reviews have taken the place of established book reviewers in most people's lives. Is that what you're saying? Because, you know, some might say that's a little elitist.
Well, I don't think it is elitist. I think if you give people a choice between 100 things, that's a real choice. If you give them a choice between 500,000 things, it's no choice at all.
I think that's a self-serving proclamation. What they mean is there's too many of everyone else's books.
Michael Cater is the founder of Publishers Marketplace, which provides information for the book business. He says if they think the market is crowded now, with more than 500,000 new books in the U.S. each year, then just wait.
What looks big now will be mind-bogglingly small soon, right? Because ebooks and print-on-demand and scanning of old books and putting them back into the system have made it possible, with little or no cost, to produce books in bulk. Case in point, the University of Michigan Library is using some of the scans that were developed in conjunction with Google to make available 400,000 books, old books, public domain books that had gone out of print. That's equivalent to almost a current year's output of new titles. So, yes, that number is going to go up in ways that people can barely conceive of.
So that's got to mean the publishing business is going to tank, right?
The absolute numbers about the state of the business are sort of what they always were. Flat is good. Up a little is better. Down a little is kind of the norm, too. And that's sort of where we are. I mean, given that the country itself has gone through one of the biggest recessions we've seen in years, if not for a century. In a way, it's a daily miracle that as many books get sold as still pass through the cash registers, particularly in a time when attention spans are supposed to be shorter, right? The long-form narrative is supposed to be challenged by the internet and radio and TV and all those other things that we have to do with our time. But there's no clear indication that anything dire has happened there. For a reader, it's boom times. There are more options. There's price competition. There's format competition. There's new ways to read. You can get things delivered faster. They're accessible online. There's more voices. There's more communities to serve you. So for readers, it's terrific.
Wow. I'll have what you're having. But I thought people were buying fewer books.
Not really, no. And in fact, I think there's an important contrast to make between books and other media. The market for DVDs has dropped considerably in the last year or two. The circulation of major newspapers and magazines has dropped precipitously. And there is an easy inclination to say, oh, book publishing has layoffs and they have pain. It must be analogous. It isn't analogous. The numerical declines we're seeing in traditional book publishing are far, far smaller.
Really? Because, I mean, we can't really follow those numbers very well. In fact, we can't follow any numbers in the book industry. There seems to be no transparency.
We do have some statistical data. It is not complete, and it doesn't line up easily. There's a service called Nielsen BookScan that tracks book sales at cash registers. So the data they gather is excellent. The insufficiency is they don't gather data from everywhere books are sold, in part because the book market is so complex, right? You can buy it at the airport, you can buy it in a grocery store, all those other discrete venues where books are sold that have not engaged with Nielsen BookScan yet. By their estimate, their figures cover about 70% of the market. So you look at their numbers, you can see for this year, the market is down between 2 and 3% compared to last year, but probably more or less even with the year before.
So then talk about ebook sales. Are they killing the business? Are they the future of the business?
Yes. So the 3% that BookScan is down are in many respects most likely ebooks. We don't know. We're only guessing. The best data we have there is reports from individual publishers who know themselves what portion of their revenues are coming from ebooks. Ebook sales are now, for most of these people, closer to 3 or 4% in the aggregate. It doesn't take astrophysicists to tell you, gee, maybe that slice that's missing from the physical book marketplace has actually just moved and is now buying books in electronic form instead of physical form.
For the first time in more than 25 years, American adults are reading more literature, according to a study released in January by the National Endowment for the Arts. The biggest increases are among young adults aged 18 to 24. This new growth reverses two decades of downward trends cited in previous reports. It was certainly down 2 years ago when we did our last hour on books. And nearly 15% of all U.S. adults read literature online. In 2008, some of them probably on their iPhones.
Well, you should see my story reading, baby. You should hear the things that she says. She says, hun, drop dead. I'd rather go to bed with Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Cuddle up with William S. Burroughs. Leave on the light for bell hooks. I've been flirting with P.A. Burton because he's so smart in his books. I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. My heart's a broken bleeding. Baby's just sitting there. Doing some reading.
So how do the publishers find his baby?
You know, there's the old business rule of three, where you see something three times and then it sticks in your head. Well, I think the new business rule is, you know, the rule of nine.
Carrie Goldstein is the publicist for 12, which publishes only 12 books a year and backs each to the hilt. They have an impressive track record for creating bestsellers.
We have to place things so variously so that people will remember it, because the news cycle moves so quickly and it's difficult to maintain those things that you were interested in because they're replaced by something else 5 minutes later.
Rule of nine is a tall order.
Yeah, but that's how it is. You know, we have to do much more now to get less.
Colin Robinson, formerly of Scribner, now co-founder of Or Books, is taking 12's path, but going further by selling directly to consumers and not relying on book vendors who demand deep discounts.
So we're not going to do very many books. We're going to do one a month, maybe two some months. But we are going to spend $50,000 to $100,000 promoting each book.
Book selling without bookstores.
Right.
And without Amazon?
And without Amazon, too. And we can't, in the model we're working on, we can't give this discount away because we are using it for promotion.
Robinson is good at this. When he was an editor at Verso Books, he once successfully marketed a smart new edition of the Communist Manifesto as a fashion accessory, almost got it into a Barney's window display. And now Orr has hit a promotional home run, its first time at bat. Let's talk about your first book. A collection of essays by many liberal-leaning writers called Going Rouge, Sarah Palin, An American Nightmare. It came out on November 16th. I don't know if you know this, but turns out Sarah Palin's biography called Going Rogue, Sarah Palin, An American Life, came out on the 17th. I'm sure that was a wild coincidence.
Well, no, I mean, very annoyingly, HarperCollins have picked the same date for the publication of their book as we did for ours. And, you know,
they chose their date first.
Well, that's what you say. I suppose this is a kind of jujitsu approach to publishing. I mean, we are trying to use the strength of our opponent against themselves. In that respect, we have been successful beyond our wildest dreams.
Today, effective promotion requires jujitsu, and also, usually, the author. Neil Gaiman is the author of blockbuster science fiction, graphic novels, children's books, a TV series. He has an interactive blog, Twitter feed, and a fan base that will follow him anywhere. But it won't if he's not there.
Smart authors may wind up having to revert to the world of Charles Dickens, where Dickens was being extensively pirated in America. So what he did to make money across America was he would do reading tours, because he could give them that one thing that they couldn't get from a pirated edition of his books. He could give them Charles Dickens reading, and people would come out for that. So maybe we're heading for a world in 10 or 15 years in which Stephen King may not be making any money from his new book, but he's going to be packing arenas and reading it to them. Be fun.
Book writing, he says, still is and always will be a lonely enterprise. But book selling, well, increasingly that's going to require some serious face time.
So we split and went to a party. Some friends my girl said she knew. But what a sight, because it's author's night and the place looks like a who's who. Now I'm pounding the Uzo. Who's a funny fella?
W.P. Kinsella.
Who brought the cat?
What, Margaret Atwood?
Who needs a shave?
He's Robertson Davies.
On that chase started a boat bike. Someone moves all over the scene. Yeah.
Spilled some dressing on Doris Lessing. These writer types are a scream. I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. We'll be together for ages.
Eating and sleeping and.
Eating and sleeping and.
He's going sleeping on.
Turning pages.
Yeah!
Fundamentally, the publishing business is teetering on the brink of ruin, hurtling toward the precipice, awash and adrift in a sea of books. In other words, more or less, the same as it ever was.